Reading this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, and we're starting from verse 1. And you'll find that on page 1090 in the Pew Bible. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you've just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Amen.
Well, let's pray. God, our Father, we thank you for every opportunity to think about your word and pray that your Spirit will be with us now and that you will teach us all those things which will be a blessing to us as we seek to be faithful followers of Jesus. Amen. Well, girls, you've been very helpful to me so far in the service. So I'm wanting a wee bit more from you this morning, if that's okay. I mean, I don't know about you, but, you know, looking at all that food, I'm beginning to get a wee bit hungry. You know, I can feel my tummy rumbling. Are you the same? Are you? Oh, yes, yes. Well, you see, maybe, it might be the case though that if you had a good breakfast, then it wouldn't be so bad. They do say that that is the most important meal of the day. Did you have a good breakfast? Would you like to tell me what you had? Yes. Pardon? Weetabix. That'll do all right, yes. Anyone else want to? Crisp bread. Mm-hmm. Anything else? Poached egg. That's more along my line. Bags of protein in a poached egg. That's great. Now, tell me this. Can you ever think of a breakfast which was the best breakfast ever for some reason? I mean, maybe it was in an unusual place, or perhaps you had breakfast with a famous person. You know, if you go to Orlando in Florida, you can have breakfast with Mickey Mouse. Now, there's nobody more, well, he's not a person, really, is he, really? But nobody more famous in the world. But sometimes you can have a meal, might not just be a breakfast, but you can have a meal which always stays in your mind as being very special because it was maybe a wee bit unusual, or because of the people that you were with. And Mrs. Goodlett was reading to us earlier of a very special breakfast that the disciples of Jesus had. Because they had breakfast with Jesus on a beach. Have you ever had breakfast on a beach? You have? Right. That's great. Breakfast on the beach with Jesus, and they had fish and bread together. Now, you might say to yourself, well, what's the big deal about that? You know, Jesus would often have meals with his disciples, but the fact is that Jesus had been dead, and now he was alive, and he was coming to his disciples, and he was preparing this meal for them on the beach. Do you remember what happened? The disciples decided that they were going to go back to work. Jesus had been appearing to his friends for quite a long time during those weeks after his resurrection from the dead. But perhaps there was a wee bit of a gap, and the disciples are getting a bit fed up. So they decide they're going to go back to work. And they go out onto the lake, and they're working all through the night. And remember what happened? Did they catch loads of fish? Well, not at first. They weren't doing very well at first. They worked all night and they caught nothing. And then just as the sun was coming up, they looked down to the shore and they saw a man standing. And he called out to them and he told them that if they put their nets down on the right-hand side of the boat, then they would catch some fish. I mean, some fish. There were so many fish that they could hardly haul the fish back into the boat. And then John, the disciple, as they were struggling with the nets, he turns around to Peter and he says, that man on the beach, it's Jesus. And Peter realizes that it's Jesus. And Peter did get excited from time to time. And he jumps into the water and wades out to the shore to meet Jesus, and the other disciples followed on. And when they arrived there, there was a fire on the beach, and bread and fish were waiting for them. Jesus had prepared their breakfast. That's wonderful, isn't it, to think of that? Jesus back from the dead. He helps his disciples to bring in the fish, and then he prepares breakfast for them. Now, that story would be a very, very important one for the disciples in years ahead. And I'll tell you why. If you kind of rewind a wee bit to the very beginning of the time when they followed Jesus, do you remember that Jesus was walking along the beach and he saw Simon and Andrew and he saw James and John and they were working at their nets? And Jesus said to them, I see that you're good fishermen. How would you like to be catching people? Now, didn't mean that he wanted the disciples to be running about throwing nets over folk whenever they met them. But Jesus wanted more and more people to be part of his family. He wanted more and more people to be part of his church so that they could tell the story, his story, to the world, and also share his love with people who were in need. And that's what Jesus meant when he said that they had to go into the world, some of the old versions of the Bible say, and be fishers of men. But he wanted them to go in and catch people, bring people in to the worldwide family of the church. And sometimes in the past, sometimes when the disciples were doing that work, they would find it hard. You know, as it has been hard down through the years to pull people into the Jesus family. And I think they would remember that night when it was very, very hard to catch any fish. But then Jesus appeared and Jesus helped them to bring in this huge haul of fish. They would be sitting down perhaps when they were in a place where nobody wanted to hear the gospel, where it was hard for Christians to go out and to share what they knew to be true about Jesus. And they would just say, well, remember that night when Jesus appeared to us, when Jesus appeared to the disciples and helped them to catch all these fish. And it's an important thing for us to remember too. The first thing, Jesus was with them. Jesus was with them on that night. Didn't matter how hard things were, they saw the figure on the beach and Jesus made a difference. And maybe the disciples would be thinking about a promise that Jesus made later on, before he went back into heaven to be with God the Father. He promised them, he said, I will be with you always, to the end of the age, to the end of the world. I will be with you. And that's a tremendous promise for everyone to remember. You know, once or twice I've told you that I go to a gym, just locally. And one of the big things, one of the big compliments you could be paid is for one of these big hunks. You know, these guys that have got muscles coming out of their ears. You know, if he kind of waddles up to you and he says to you, would you like to spot for me? Now, do you know what that means? That means he's going to lie down on a bench with about 90 kilograms of weight. And he's going to try and push it up. But he wants me to stand behind the weight and to make sure it doesn't come down and crush him. As if. But it gives him a wee bit of confidence knowing that if he's struggling a wee bit and it's coming back down, there's somebody there. There's somebody there who can help him. And you see, what Jesus was saying when he said to his followers, I'll be with you all, I'm going to spot for you. I'll be there for you to the end of the world. I'll be present with you. You'll know, you'll be able to have confidence because you know no matter the weight of the challenges that you're facing, you'll know that I'm there. But not just that Jesus was there for them. Jesus was also working for them. You know, they're sitting down and they're thinking, you know, this is hard, you know, gathering people into the family of Jesus. And then they would say, well, remember that night when Jesus appeared on the shore and he actually told the disciples where they could bring in the fish. He said, put your net down on the right hand side and there you'll find plenty of fish to haul in. And you see, I believe very much that sometimes the way Jesus' Spirit works, he actually can give us ideas as to how we can bring more people into the church. You know, I'll tell you a story, it's about a girl who lived in a wee village called Pollock. You may have heard of it, over in the south side of Glasgow. And she attended the Scripture Union in her school. And the teacher that took the Scripture Union was always telling people that came that they should be looking to bring more and more people. Now, there was a wee boy that lived about 4 or 5 doors down from her. And she decided that she was going to invite this wee boy to come along. She told him all the things that were happening and she told him how good it was. And this wee guy went along to the Scripture Union and he learned things about Jesus that he'd never known before. And he went on to become a minister. Because that wee boy was me. Yes, absolutely. And I believe that Jesus put that thought in Marlon's mind. To come and invite me to go to the Scripture Union. I really do. And I think that when we get these wee notions, you know, to do things for Jesus, that might just be him saying, put your net down there. That's somebody that you can pull in. That's somebody who can belong to the family. So, Jesus with us, Jesus working with us, and Jesus caring for us. That's the other thing that the disciples learned about that breakfast on the beach. You know, they've been working all night. They would be very, very tired and very, very hungry. And there it all was waiting for them beside the charcoal fire. And I'm quite sure they would believe that that was the best breakfast that they ever had in their lives. Because the Lord was there and he had provided for them. He cared for them. He knew they were tired and hungry. And here was the best breakfast that anyone could ever receive. And I think we've got to remember that when we're looking to go out into the world and to bring more people into the church. Jesus is with us. Jesus is working with us, but he cares for us as well. He doesn't just leave us to get on with it. He gives us his Holy Spirit to give us all the strength, all the ideas that we need. You know, I don't know if you heard just a few weeks ago, but there was a half marathon in Sheffield got cancelled. And do you know why it got cancelled? Anyone remember? It got cancelled because there was no water for the runners. No water. And that's absolutely essential if you're going to even a half marathon. Come on. But on the other hand, you do need your water every few miles. It's very, very important. But the arrangements for the water hadn't worked out, and so the half marathon was cancelled. But you see, no one has ever cancelled Jesus' Holy Spirit. And he has promised that his Spirit will always be with us to give us all the energy and all the resources that we need to finish the race. That's the way the Apostle Paul thought of the Christian life. It's like a marathon. It can be hard work at times, but God will always provide us with the resources we need to see it to the end. And that's one of the most important things I believe we can take from this story. So a great story, and a story that we need to go back to time and time again. It assures us that Jesus is with us. It assures us he's working with us. And it assures us that he cares for us. Let's pray. God our Father, we give thanks to you for the wonderful story of Jesus' death and resurrection and how he's with us. But we thank you also that he's with us so that we might be his people here on earth and gather more and more into the joys of your kingdom. So thank you for him. Thank you for his message. And thank you for the church. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I've left my... Let's sing together now. It's a hymn of celebration to our risen Lord. He is Lord, he is Lord, he is risen from the dead, and he is Lord.